in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, February 7th. It's the first Friday in February. January is technically over, and it's the first Friday of Black History Month, which while the federal government canceled it, we all still celebrate.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, we all made it through January.
Indeed, indeed.
Kind of. We did. So barely. Hopefully February brings brighter news.
That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's the small acts of resistance of being like, no, I still will celebrate this. I'm going to go watch some good art or read a good book by a black author or something like that. Mm-hmm. To just celebrate in the joy when it's an otherwise unstoppable onslaught of horrific news that comes straight down the pike.
I'm taking a lot of joy from watching the congressmen and women just rail RFK Jr., or anyone else that, I mean, he doesn't know enough to argue back. Mm-mm. So it's embarrassing to watch.
Truly. Truly. I like, as an attorney, I always love for someone to go, is it true that you said, you know, whatever vaccines cause your ass to turn around backwards to your front part? And he's like, I don't recall ever saying that. And they're like, here's a recording of it. And it's like,
here's a giant poster that we're going to hold up with your picture and the quote.
So while we have those onslaughts, there are some fun moments, I guess, too.
Well, we have a fun moment coming up.
Oh yeah, let's like
as
I said,
of today.
Today's the day
that the tickets are on sale.
Get your cabins and let's go. So, in case you don't know what we're talking about, it's the announcement we made last week, but that's okay. You're here now. We'll tell you. I know that as you listen to this, you have wanted to solve a mystery with us at sea. While sipping pina coladas.
The at sea is the where at people sea. Go,
really?
Solve a mystery with us, probably, but at sea
and
is
you're
a
like,
whole other level.
Like, wait a minute. And I'm like, while also possibly encountering an unidentified submersible object. And you're like, fuck
I'm
yeah,
listening.
I'm in. So great okay. news. Great news. Let's do it.
We do. We have great news. We are part of Crime Wave at Sea 2025, a one-of-a-kind true crime festival. It's happening this November 3rd to 7th. We can't wait. There's going to be your favorite creators live on stage, exclusive collaborations, fan meetups, activities designed to connect you with other true crime fans, and what?
We're sailing right through the Bermuda Triangle. It's leaving from Fort Lauderdale. We are also visiting Nassau, Bahamas, as well as this one of these private islands. But I looked at the Bermuda Triangle, and I looked at the sailing map, and at several points, we will be going through the triangle.
And do we come out?
TBD.
And when we do, Heather and I both have Admiral hats. So yeah. We're in charge when we get there. We've decided.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Tickets for this incredible experience are on sale today, noon Eastern time. But you got to act fast because spaces are limited. You first head to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Grab your fan code and then use that fan code to buy your tickets so you don't miss out. And so that they know you're with the Crime Wave at Sea and not just generally going on the cruise. You're going on our cruise with us.
Yes. You got to get the fan code, then get the tickets. Then we get to meet an alien, aka the octopuses that live in the ocean.
Absolutely, we do.
Maybe see a base. Maybe they'll take us down.
Yes, you've been telling us.
In addition to live shows, panels, and true crime fan meetups, you'll also get classic cruise perks like endless food, exotic destinations, and the potential existential terror of being surrounded by miles of open ocean.
I'm just trying to stare out that window and just watch the horizon that never ends. I can't wait and just contemplate my existence. But it's also worth it to say you went on vacation with us. And, you know, it's the best thing to go on vacation with us, certainly, but it's not just us.
No.
You get performances from Henry and Ed from Last Podcast Side Stories, Dan and Linz from Scared to Death, Katie and Whitney from True Crime Campfire, and more. And also, maybe a Kraken. I can't say they're going to be there, but also, they're always with us in the seas.
They
own it.
They can do 8 shows at once. There's a lot. Juggling plates, He could be doing an open mic, playing a sax. You don't know what kind of entertainment you're going to get with a Kraken.
Never.
So set your reminders. Join us for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. Don't forget to use hashtag Crime Wave 2025 so we can see all your posts about the inevitable strange lights and aliens and orbs and drones that we're all going to see staring up into the night sky over the dark sea.
Absolutely. It's going to be unforgettable. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. And we'll see you on the ship or the mothership. Maybe.
Maybe. We got another fun plug, too.
Yes.
Similar to Freaky Fridays, but instead we're doing videos this time.
Hell yes. Shout out to everybody who joined us for our porch live stream on the 30th of January. You can go back and see it. We like to go live from the porch.
Oh my God.
For chaos and shenanigans. Oh my God. Yeah. Whenever I called, I haven't called her back, by the way, but I will today.
I woke up today and was like, did that really happen? Yes, it did.
Someone commented on our Instagram. Just I thought Jessica was real, too. And I was like, she's real in our hearts. If y'all know what we're talking about, go over to youtube.com/sinisterhoodpodcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's free to subscribe. You can watch the replay of the Jan 30 porch live stream. Porch live streams where we do whatever we want. Sometimes we read weird old tabloids. That's what we were doing on the 30th. But starting the Sundays now, as we speak, you can join us 8:30 p.m. Central Time to watch fun videos.
You send them in, we're going to react. We're calling it Sunday Scaries. Send us your scary, weird, hilarious videos. We will react live if you got something creepy that you've caught on camera. Maybe you found a weird clip or a fun TikTok. Maybe you just have a funny video you really need us to see. Send it our way and we'll react live every Sunday on our YouTube channel. So submit your videos now. It's sinisterhood.com/scaries.
And both of these, if you just go to sinisterhood.com, there's a big old banner at the top. If you're like, I'm driving, I can't write all this down, just go to our website. I put it right at the top in a banner to make it easy for you.
You got it. All you got to do is go to sinisterhood.com and then toy around on there. Just, you know, spend a few minutes, see what you like.
Give it a little clickeroo, We'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, you have curated quite a lineup for us today of jaw-dropping stories, truly.
Truly, yeah, it's start as we say, turn alert. We're taking a hard turn into the stories now. And the first two are especially heavy. Yes. So I want to give everyone a heads up. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Leah, and it's called My Boyfriend Accidentally Rode His Bike Over a Freshly Buried Murder Victim. Content warning, discussions of rape. I wanted to tell y'all the story of the time my boyfriend was low-key on America's Most Wanted when they did the story on the Fairmount Park rapist, who is still at large, by the way. In July of 2003, my boyfriend Sam, he's still my boyfriend, marriage isn't our thing, and I had just moved to our first apartment with my cousin Lisa in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or so we thought. All three of us had grown up in smaller towns in the South, so this was a whole new world to us. We were still adjusting to the high rent, public transportation, and the city rats, but we never expected to interface with a murderer right out of the gate. Good times! On Sunday, July 13th, when we had been in Philly for all of 2 weeks, Sam decided to go for a bike ride and explore Fairmount Park, while I decided to lounge around in my velour tracksuit like the hip bitch that I was. We lived by the far west end of the park, which runs along the Schuylkill River. From our apartment complex, there was a short wooded trail that would take you down to the park with a nice bike and walking trail along the river. A few hours passed and Sam came home from his bike ride and said he saw the weirdest shit on his ride. I glanced up from Yahoo Messenger to find out if it was really weird or just weird to us because we were small town kids getting used to the big city life. Earlier that week, I'd been shocked to see a guy just openly peeing as he walked down the street. But what Sam told us was far worse than public urination. Sam had been biking through the short wooded trail to Fairmount Park when he saw a guy wearing slacks and a tucked-in shirt moving sticks, leaves, and dirt around into a pile in the middle of the trail. Sam thought this seemed like an odd outfit choice for someone working on the trail. Sam slowed down and watched him from about 200 feet away for a minute while waiting for the man to finish whatever he was doing so Sam could get past him. As the guy left to go gather more sticks, Sam rode past the guy and over the pile he was working on. The guy noticed him at this point and got startled. The trail had zigzags, and by the time Sam did a zig and a zag, the guy had chased him on foot, even going off trail to try and cut him off at the next zigzag. At this point, Sam knew something was seriously creepy with this dude and decided to book it out of there at top speed. He continued along his bike ride and came home a few hours later and told Lisa and I what he had seen. The following day or two, the news began reporting that Rebecca Park, a medical student, had gone missing while out jogging. She was last seen on the afternoon of Sunday, July 13th. We realized that Rebecca lived right down the street from us. 4 days after Rebecca was reported missing, they found her body along the wooded trail to Fairmount Park, the exact same trail where Sam saw that weird shit, which was almost at approximately the same time that Rebecca was reported to have left for her jog. This was when we knew we had to call the cops. We realized Sam had literally witnessed the killer in the act of burying Rebecca Park's body. It was immediately chilling to realize he was out there covering up his crime in broad daylight. It's totally speculation on my part, but I don't think he intended to kill Rebecca. He was a serial rapist, and Rebecca Park was his only murder victim that I'm aware of. So anyway, Lisa and I put on our big girl panties and decided Sam needed to call the cops ASAP. He didn't disagree in theory, but because he was raised by hardcore hippies who brought him up to avoid the police at all costs, he was hesitant. Where he comes from, you just don't trust the cops. I remember Lisa and I explaining to Sam that we had to report this for Rebecca's family, and also pointing out that Lisa and I could have very well been the ones to have gone missing. This finally convinced Sam to contact the police. The police asked him to come down to the station, where he was interviewed by a few different detectives. Sam experienced the detectives totally playing good cop, bad cop with him to see if his story changed at all. They even had him work with a composite sketch artist to explain what the guy looked like. After it was over, Sam came home a little rattled, but he did feel like he had done the right thing. The very next day, the detectives called and asked to come to our apartment because they wanted Sam to show them exactly where he'd seen the man, and they wanted to interview Lisa and I too. After Sam showed the detectives the spot where he'd seen the guy moving sticks around, the same spot he had rolled over on his bike, the detective said, "Yeah, that's about where we found her." I talked with the detectives that day as well. They basically asked about the time frame of the day, asked how Sam behaved after coming home from his bike ride, and what his story had been when he got home. I'm not going to lie, it was more than a little weird that they were actually ruling out my own boyfriend as the rapist slash murderer. But I stayed calm because I'd seen enough cop shows to know there was nothing legitimately suspicious about two art students and a dude who works in a greenhouse. That was the last time we had any contact with the detectives or police about the events of the day. However, we began seeing wanted posters around our apartment building and neighborhood stores featuring the same composite sketch Sam had helped create. Eventually, the police put out an official statement that they believed Rebecca Park was raped and murdered by the Fairmount Park rapist. The Fairmount Park rapist had been attacking women in the park since April of 2003, just a few months before we showed up in town. Rebecca was his second rape victim and his first murder victim. He attacked again in October of 2003. All of the attacks occurred within a one-mile radius, and investigators used DNA evidence to link the same man to all the crimes. The Fairmount Park rapist attacked again in August of 2007. He is still at large, and I am not sure if there are other reported attacks by him. In 2005, America's Most Wanted did a story on the Fairmount Park rapist, and Sam was described as, quote, a man on a bike during the show. They even used the composite sketch that Sam had helped create. I loved America's Most Wanted as a kid and freely watched it because it was the 80s and parents didn't pay attention to what kids watched back then. At least mine didn't. My biggest obsessions at the time were Smurfs, Michael Jackson, and TV shows that were far too violent for someone my age. I remember watching America's Most Wanted and wondering if anyone I know could ever end up on that show. Turns out, yes. Here's a link with the sketch and more information on the Fairmount Park rapist.
Well, the good news is they appear to have a suspect in custody. He's been charged with Rebecca Park's murder, charged with several of the Fairmount Park incidents, and due in part to this sketch. I mean, the DNA has tracked him and he had attacked someone else and the DNA all came through. But just having people aware and having that eyewitness has been helpful. And it looks like him too.
Oh man, this is one of the wilder stories we've got in. To really think about, you're just riding your bike and then knowing what you just rode over. But there is something about seeing someone do nefarious things in the light of day that makes it to me even creepier.
Yeah, because it is a person who is bold enough and willing enough to even get to the point where they're having to now hide the body of one, at least one of their victims. And then they see you and start chasing you down because the DNA showed that the Rebecca Park incident was obviously not the first one and then definitely was not the last one. So he was a motivated, violent offender that I tried to find an update on his trial. I just saw where in December of 2023, he had been arrested and the DNA linked him and stuff.
Wow. So 2003 to 2023.
Yeah.
20 years and 20 years. Perhaps more that was going on before, you know, it even started being reported. But man, Sam, you did the right thing and y'all did the right thing by encouraging him to call it in, because that's definitely weird, sus behavior. And when you find out the next day, somebody legit has gone missing and yet right in that spot, I mean, your stomach just drops because you've got to know. I totally witnessed that.
Right. And especially if it's not, oh, a guy was, you know, putting sticks together and I rode past him and, you know, stopped and he was like, I'm just building a fire. And you kept going. But it's like a suspicious person was acting suspicious and then physically chased me. I think in a situation like that, you know, calling the police is and just telling them what you saw in case it's helpful is the right thing to do, especially, you know, you brought. I appreciate whenever, you know, Leah brings up like this is to help whomever that woman was. Like there are hundreds and thousands of people that love her and want to know what happened. And if you could be a little part of that. And the again, like I said, looking at the sketch against who was finally arrested and the DNA matched, that is a spot on. Like, good for you to have that, be able to describe a person that well.
Oh, yeah. The sketch definitely. Sketch artists are amazing.
They really
to
are.
To be able to just like someone describe to you what they have seen and then you can just like draw it out to be that spot on is wild.
Like, no, the eyebrows are a little bit higher and like more pointed down and they're like, okay. And like, oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So
yeah. But these two, yeah, if you saw Sam. One of the, if you, you would know it was the person you know if you saw that sketch. And then,
so
yeah. Well, good for you, Sam. And Lisa and Leah, all of you, I hope you're staying safe and good on you for looking out for other people. It's easy to not want to get wrapped up in stuff like that, but it's the right thing to do. So good for you.
Definitely. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one also deals with the subject of rape. From the subject line, dinner with an alleged serial rapist. And this was from Kai. Dear Heather and Christy, hi ladies, spouses, children, and pets, longtime listener and patron, first time writing in. You guys are my favorite podcast, and I could go on, but let's get into it. My husband is a physician's assistant in Kansas and has worked at several different hospitals over his career. Over a decade ago, at his first job out of PA school, he and I were invited to dinner by the doctor who was the head of his program at the time, Dr. Fred Tanzer. This was a friendly work dinner with my husband's boss at a very nice steak restaurant in town, so I was happy to go and be supportive. Although I've now gone to many of these kinds of dinners, we've now been married 10 years, this one still sticks out in my memory because I did not like this guy at all. It was dinner with Dr. Tanzer and his wife and me and my husband, so just the four of us. I remember him as being super pompous. He talked the whole time and he frequently talked over others at the table. I also just kind of got the vibe that he didn't think super highly of women. I remember feeling sorry for his wife and just trying to enjoy the food and get through the dinner. I also remember telling my husband afterwards that I didn't want to have dinner with that guy again. Fast forward over a decade to a couple weeks ago when news breaks that Dr. Fred Tanzer has been arrested by the FBI in Ohio and is suspected to be a serial rapist. He has reportedly been linked through DNA evidence to a violent rape in 1989. I don't want to go into all the details here, but basically, He broke into a woman's home, waited for her, surprised her, and tied her up, and then proceeded to violently assault her over a period of 4 to 5 hours before leaving. This heroic woman reported her rape and had a rape kit done way back in 1989, which must have been very difficult. Recently, the DNA from this 1989 rape was linked to Dr. Fred Tanzer, and he was arrested. The rape victim turns out to be the best friend of Dr. Tanzer's wife in 1989. He has since remarried to the woman I met at dinner. He raped his wife's best friend, allegedly. Again, I don't want to go into all the details here. This whole story would take a mini-sode at least to tell. But if you Google him and read about the case, it's clear he planned his attack. He came prepared with what he needed to perpetrate the crime, and he took precautions to hide his identity. To my true crime brain, does not seem like his first or only attack. Comes across as someone with experience. Even the fact that he attacked his wife's best friend, which is such an unnecessary risk of being recognized, seems like something only someone with a lot of confidence would do. The statute of limitations on the 1989 rape has already expired, but he is being charged with lying to the FBI. He lied when confronted about facts of the rape. He has also been linked to two more rapes, allegedly, and the Cincinnati police, who investigated the 1989 rape, have publicly stated that he is likely a, quote, serial offender. The FBI is asking the public to, quote, consider the circumstances of the rapes and the locations where Tanzer has lived, and to report similar information. He has been linked to Kansas, Colorado, and Ohio. He's currently 66 years old. Now, getting back to my husband. My husband worked with this asshole for several years, but I don't really have any other stories about him that are noteworthy. Sounds like the two of them had a pretty normal working relationship, and he was a competent, if arrogant, doctor. A lot of doctors are pretty arrogant, though, so I guess nothing seemed unusual as far as my husband could tell. One last thing, though. If you Google Dr. Fred Tanzer and look at the image results, my poor sweet husband shows up in the first three. Dr. Fred Tanzer is standing right next to him. So random, but that's my brush with true crime. I'm also including a link to an article about Dr. Tanzer. Thank you for all you do, ladies, and thanks for sharing my story, or at least reading it.
This is an eerie guy and an eerie case.
He looks like evil. Yeah, you just went about your day like everything was great at the hospital, didn't you?
Meanwhile, for decades, you have been a sophisticated and brutal, is the federal affidavit language. They said that in his dresser, they found zip ties, a black hat, restraints, and a gag all together, like his little kit that he could go grab out of his dresser. And it looks like Starbucks did him in. He got a look, a Venti Pike Place with three Splendas and a half inch room for cream, and he threw it away at the DMV, and they picked it up and tested it. So
my question is, and I haven't dug too much into it, so it might be answered in those articles, of why they suspected him to go seek out his DNA.
In March of 2024, he became, quote, a prime suspect, and they, it doesn't say why that I can see from this brief article, but like Kai said, that would probably take a whole mini-sode to cover it, but it looks like it was coming back, and there's DNA in the case, and it might have been a case of, hey, we've got this rape kit from 1989. Why have we not tested it? Was there even a suspect? And it's like, I'm sure if you went back and asked this lady, if your best friend's husband raped you, even if he had on a mask, it said he took extreme measures to conceal his identity, I feel like you would know.
Maybe.
I felt like, am I crazy? I'm not saying that she did anything wrong whatsoever. I'm just saying that might be an easy way to just ask the victim, even though it's the ball has been dropped for 2 decades, to go, hey, we're picking up this cold case. And she's like, yeah, I think I told you a long time ago, nobody did anything.
Yeah, I didn't see if it said that she told them, just that she was very brave and got the
extremely
kit
brave
done, especially in 89. Yeah, it was a different time. It is very bold to commit a crime like that against your wife's best friend. Whether or not you know, I don't know. You might be just fighting for your life that you're not even thinking straight to. But if they go back to her later and say, did you happen to know any of these people back in the day? And she's like, oh, yeah, that guy was my best friend's husband at the time.
Yeah,
well, there's
exactly
a connection.
No, definitely. They also said the two additional victims came forward that accused him of repeated druggings and rapes as recently, you know, as that 2.5 years ago. It's not like this was I think you should still go to jail for something in 1989. The fact that the statute of limitations run is also disgusting, but that's a soapbox for a different day, because I don't think he should just, well, you beat the rap for long enough, so we'll let you go. It's like,
totally agree.
Good news is he'll remain in prison while awaiting trial. And I imagine if you're charged by the FBI with DNA evidence, you are not getting out ever again.
I hope not. If that was 1989, they also found a kit, and then more victims have come forward. Like with the first case, you know, I just think how many more that we don't know about, you know,
certainly,
or maybe that will come forward. Some may not even be around anymore. It's, I hate the statute of limitations. I don't want anyone to get away with stuff like this.
For sure.
And anytime I find out, I'm like, this motherfucker for 20 years just was roaming the streets, doing whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Living his life, being a doctor, having holiday parties, yucking it up with his coworkers or whatever. But we cannot overstate the value of that, the bravery of that initial 1989 victim to have that. You know, you probably just get beat down over the years thinking nothing's ever going to happen. It never. And of course, justice delayed feels absolutely like justice denied, but it's at least, you know, something. And ideally it will serve as a warning to law enforcement to go, listen, when this happens, you've got to doggedly search for these people, because clearly if it was as soon as 2 years ago, they don't fucking stop. It doesn't matter if they're in their 60s, they will not stop. Same with the guy from the Philadelphia area in the prior story. They don't stop in 20 years. It's just, they get better at it, in fact. So
unless you're like the Golden State Killer and you literally become so old, you can't, but look how long it took for them to catch him. Also with the discarded cup in the trash outside his home.
Rex Huerman style with the pizza in New York City. So I'm glad that cold cases still get attention, because it very clearly has to do with current public safety. It's not a waste of taxpayer funds to clear the backlog of rape kits. In fact, it's a huge, huge investment in public safety to clear a backlog of rape kits, because it gets rapists like Dr. Fred Tanzer off the streets.
Yeah. It's hard to think of someone doing that one time, you know?
Like, and having a whole kit. Yeah.
Yeah. Or anyone in it like this. You're like, this wasn't the first and this wasn't the last. And regardless of when it happened, even if the 1989 was the only one they could tie him to, I know a lot of states have statute of limitations. Some don't, but we should all move towards zero statute of limitations on rape.
Certainly on sex crimes, absolutely. And especially it's silly to me that murder has no statute of limitations, when oftentimes cases of murder perhaps could be justified. There's never a justification for rape and sexual assault. So why would one crime be treated differently than the other? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And this is another testimony to women's instincts, man.
Yeah.
You knew from the minute you saw him, like, this guy sucks shit.
You're like, something in my spine is tingling in a bad way. Like, makes you kind of sick and like, danger, danger, poison, poison, get away. Yeah,
even
your gut was right.
He doesn't respect women. And the amount of time that you spend with someone at dinner, you garnered that.
And it's definitely a prerequisite to being a sex predator, not to respect women.
Well, thank you so much, Kai, for sending that in. And Godspeed your husband having to work with someone like that. Just going back later and being like, God, I stood next to that man and he had just done this the night before.
Right. Like, he was always kind of like, I didn't like him. He was kind of an arrogant jerk. But like, the eeriness to know that he just scrubbed up and came in the next day. It's bone chilling.
It is. It is.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, speaking of bone chilling, this next one is from Carrie, and it is called The Time I Lived in a Haunted House. Hey, y'all. I just wanted to say first that I appreciate y'all's humor, intelligence, and hard work you put into your podcast. I work in orthopedic surgery, and I drive 3 hours a day for work. So I definitely appreciate y'all and your podcast very much, because it always keeps me entertained, informed, and awake for my drive. And if you've noticed a huge uptick in listeners in East Tennessee in the past 2 years, you can definitely blame me. So to get to my story, I moved out of my parents' home in the sticks when I started college around 15 years ago.
I moved into this awful duplex that was surrounded by drug dealers. Now, keep in mind, I am from the Appalachian Mountains, where it takes an hour to get to a grocery store, Walmart, any kind of fast food restaurant, much less move into a house surrounded by drug dealers. I was late for class multiple times because they were either blocking my car in or the bounty hunters were there trying to collect their debt. Eventually, I made friends with someone in school who let me move into their mom's old house that was far enough away that it almost felt like it was in the country. Now, moving into this house wasn't an easy feat. It was built in the 1600s. There was no insulation in this house, and it had a heat pump installed a couple of centuries later. The heat pump only covered half of the downstairs. After a month's worth of work, it was finally, quote, move-in ready. I still had to cover the windows with plastic and all the hallways with blankets, but it was so much better than being in that toxic, drug-fueled environment. My friend warned me that no one had lived in the house for 50 years, not only because of the cold, but because of the sounds of children in the house. She was always going on with something crazy, so I never really thought anything about it. After a few days of living there, I discovered the enslaved people's quarters, a secret passageway for the enslaved people to move about the house without being seen. I know, it's terrible beyond reason. Then, after a few weeks, I started hearing things. I started hearing things bounce down the stairs like a ball. I hadn't been upstairs since it was winter, and I had blocked it all off with blankets. After multiple nights of hearing what sounded like a ball bouncing down the stairs and a child laughing, I finally decided I was going to investigate. Threw back a few beers for some courage and made my way upstairs. There were two rooms upstairs. One was a normal bedroom. The other was a gateway to hell, it seemed. I walked through the second bedroom that had a loft door. I opened it, and it was what I would call a tobacco loft. However, the door only locked from the outside. And inside, there were many chalk marks on the wall, like whoever was up there was counting the days. As you know, people back in the day used to hide away people who were, quote, different, so they wouldn't be seen or heard. This particular loft probably had a year's worth of marks. A family member had been trapped up there for years. They must have been young at some point, kept bouncing that ball down the stairs while laughing. I never had a restful night's sleep in that house the whole time I was there. Needless to say, I moved out after the winter because I couldn't take the very loud sounds anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to go to sleep with the giggles and the ball bouncing.
Or the enslaved people's quarters.
No.
Here's what's crazy. Underneath. No one warned you, hey, nobody's lived there in 50 years, but just FYI, Carrie, upstairs, there's a room. Here's what happened. And then downstairs, you might also come across this. Those are things you got to disclose to someone.
Yeah, certainly it should be in the listing. It's just an FYI. You know, it might be like, oh, it's a walk up. So, you know, there's three stairs to get to the front door. Also, there's tunnels beneath the house that were used for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. And now there's also an upstairs. And you're like, an upstairs? They're like, in a sense, like a loft. Yeah, anytime you see scratch marks, drawing marks, counting down the days, I'm like, why'd you have to count them that way? You didn't get access to like a calendar or other people to talk about what day it was. And that gives you a feeling that you don't want to shut your eyes at night to sleep underneath it.
It sure does. Well, that coupled with the fact that there were enslaved people's quarters could be related, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, well, and also like Carrie said, you know, people back in the day and by back in the day, not even that long ago, they might've been doing something like that. So it could have just been generations after generations of what sounds like pretty violent, scary stuff.
Yeah.
But at least there were, some kid had a good time at some point if it's still laughing after all these years.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know. I would have a lot of questions for my friend. First of all, how dare you not tell me what I was getting myself into?
Yeah, my first question is, what the hell, man?
Unless they didn't know. And then you're like, well, I've got some news for you. I did a little bit of exploring and here's the deal. But surely someone, I don't know, man. 50 years is a long time for a place to sit still. And then if you're having to get it ready,
true,
you think that you would kind of look around and stuff, you know?
Yeah. A place like that's where you like go to open a floorboard and they're like, that's the original plans for the house. You know, something like that where they've just got nooks and crannies, very cool places to visit and go to, perhaps not to live directly in, but you got to do what you got to do, man, when you're, you know, looking for a place to kick it and you're like, well, I could have Dog the Bounty Hunter in front of my house every day or live with a ghost. I'm like, give me the ghost.
And he sucks shit for his own reasons. So 100%. We definitely don't want to live where he's coming around.
Give me the laughing ghost child 10 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, Perry, I hope you found a nice, safe, ghost-free place to live after you moved out of there.
Most definitely. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Well, this next one's from Nikki, and the subject line is, my friend, the medium. I deeply appreciate you both and your podcast. I love your candor, the legal and logical information sharing, your office references, motherhood empathizing, IBS sympathizing, humor, and friendship. Thank you for being your authentic selves. In a recent Freaky Friday, a listener discussed a medium connecting her with her father, a late Vietnam veteran. Thank you to that veteran and the family for their sacrifice. May he rest in peace. Christy, you asked for medium recommendations, so here is my experience and recommendation. One of my dearest friends is a psychic medium. While I have loved her since the inception of our friendship in 2005, I was cynical of her supernatural ways and always thought she was a little too woo-woo-y. But I instantly loved her because she's clearly a wonderful friend, a great mom, and an all-around beautiful human. One evening, circa 2010-ish, we were having dinner at her house, chatting away, when she randomly said, oh, your grandma's here. I became strangely defensive and said, you can talk about other people's dead loved ones, not mine. Why did I react so intensely? Jeez, Nikki, calm down. She deadass said, well, she's here, so you want to talk to her or not? I reluctantly agreed. Sarah proceeded to describe details, almost as if she and Grandma knew I needed evidence to open my heart to receive this visit. She described in detail my grandma's house and backyard, the black rotary phone on the wall, a burn mark on the kitchen counter. Some of these details even I had forgotten until Sarah mentioned them. She described the scene when my grandmother passed away. She described it from a bird's eye view. I was actually there, so she couldn't really BS her way through it. My mom on one side of my grandma's bed, my dad at the end, and me on the other side. She described it exactly how we were positioned around my grandma and described how we held her hand as she passed. I didn't tell her or anyone this information. She just knew. She kept describing a caregiver at the facility spilling pills everywhere. They bounced off a silver tray. I know this is somehow significant as Grandma kept showing this scene, but I've never had any way to investigate it. Sarah described her vision as the spirits playing charades of sorts with her and showing her snippets and scenes. They don't talk to her, they show her. Sarah described my grandma's moo-moo. Grandma loved moo-moos. Sarah described a purple one Grandma especially loved. Sarah even described the moo-moo we chose to bury Grandma in. It was only fitting she'd be comfortable for eternity, right? It was black with red roses on it. Grandma and I proceeded to have a lovely conversation for about an hour. It was such a special opportunity to talk with her, convey things that had been heavy on my heart since she passed, apologize for being mean to her that one time when I was in second grade. I held onto that guilt for years. Grandma ended our visit by saying she loves me so much, which Sarah even conveyed in the tone and emphasis similar to Grandma's. It was beautiful. My grandma passed before Sarah and I became good friends, and I can tell you with certainty I never shared those details with her. Medium Sarah Lemos is her name, and she has gone on to be on TV. She's the medium on Ghosts of Morgan City and Ghost Town Terror. She's been on Portals to Hell and Conjuring Kesha. It's pretty special to watch your friend on TV. Abilities aside, she is a genuinely caring, thoughtful, authentic, and amazing human. I've been so proud to see her lean into her talents and make a difference in people's lives. She wasn't doing the mediumship thing too professionally back when my grandma visited. She's really honed her practice and is changing lives, teaching others, and healing hearts. The stories she has, even some way back when she was a little girl, oh, they make my spine tingle. I'm a cynic with most things psychic, so me trusting in Sarah is significant. pics attached of her as one of my beautiful bridesmaids, a pic of us paddleboarding, and a pic of my grandma, the other star of this story. Also, in reference to your NDE episode, I once asked Sarah about this. She said it's been shown to her that when we die, it looks like a bunch of screens set up around us, showing us every single moment of our lives. The choices we've made, the actions we have or haven't taken, the way we've behaved and treated others, every single moment is shown to us. With a pure heart, we then judge ourselves and the lives we've lived and determine our next step slash phase. Self-judgment, free of bias. Isn't that a fascinating paradigm? My brain gets existential if I think about this too hard. I'll include the link to our website below if you're interested in reaching out to her. Thanks for reading, regardless if it makes it on the pod. P.S. My son had a few metaphysical experiences when he was little, and I had one a few years back. Sarah helped guide me through them. I'll share those another time if you're interested. Cheers.
Well, I'm definitely interested in hearing those stories. I also want to check out mediumsaralimos.com.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, brief Google search, a ton of videos come up from shows she's been on and everything. So I definitely want to check her out. And I definitely want to start a petition for bringing back the beehive hairdo.
Oh, so good, Grandma.
Grandma
rocking it.
And my fucking grandma and my great grandma had them. And we still have pictures where, my God, like 2 feet tall, just hairspray. How did it even stay up?
They had to get closer to God. That's why the higher the hair, closer to God. My granny had more hair like this, but my mama, when she got older, had like the curly. But this is
I love it.
Top notch, Grandma. Top notch. And I love the whole scarf vibe around her neck.
The glasses. Honestly, like
Grandma's 50 out of 10.
Anybody could wear this now, and you'd be considered classy and chic and fashionable.
It's timeless. Grandma's timeless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No wonder she wanted to come visit you, because especially when Grandma's like, oh shit, you can see me? Will you tell my granddaughter I'm here? Aww. And I like how your friend's like, I mean, she's here. Do you want me to tell her to fuck
it's
off?
It's kind of rude if I'm just like, Grandma, she's not in the mood right now.
Your grandma's waving at me and I'm doing like the cut it out. She doesn't want to talk to you right now. She's not in the mood. No, that's incredible. I want to contact her too. I had a great experience with the medium that my sister and I did. And she said it was kind of similar, that where she was being shown things. Mm-hmm. And then when other family members saw the medium talk about someone else, they were again, it was like these physical objects almost, or like visions or scenes. And she was also able to describe like the kind of like the moment when my dad passed away and stuff like that. So it's fascinating when they tell you it's, you know, I can't explain how, but it is like, I'm like, I can tell you that a stranger knew exactly these very specific details but I'm sure it's even more flabbergasting when it's just like having coffee with your bestie and they're like, oh yeah, so like 5 years ago.
You didn't seek it out. Yeah.
You're like, wait,
it's
what?
Thrust upon you.
Especially if you're kind of a skeptic too.
Yeah. I love that. I love her love for muumuus, and 100% you want to be comfortable for eternity. So y'all did her right.
Heard.
By burying in her in what she was most comfortable in. The one thing that stuck out to me is super creepy was the scene being reshown over and over of the pills hitting I don't know. Like, my first thought was something was going on there.
Or something weird, or an accident she remembers, or something. That is interesting to just be shown that scene over and over again. I don't know. Maybe something to meditate on, or
ask
Grandma to show Sarah some more visions or something like that. Because, you know, it's like, can't go back and change anything, but it certainly would be curious why. Like, what's the relevance of that?
Yeah.
So fascinating stuff, though. But thanks for the recommendation. Yeah. We always love a good medium.
Definitely gonna check her out. Thank you.
Well, this next one is from Ashley.
Uh-oh. I know. And this is, I had to include it because I don't want to believe it. I know you don't want to believe it. And maybe we can crowdsource what happened.
This is hurtful to me in a deep level because of my obsession with this person. Let me just start off, if I may. If you haven't seen the movie Mrs. Winterbourne, I know I've talked about it before.
It's a noir
crime movie / also romance. It's so good.
I've never underrated. Seen it. I gotta watch it.
Shirley MacLaine is in it. It's underrated. It's so good. So anyway, my didn't really start my love, but definitely helped stoke. I mean, I've rented every one of this man's videos from Hollywood movies, so crushed we are. But nevertheless, Ashley lets us know, subject line, sorry, Brendan Fraser is an asshat.
Uh-oh.
On episode 328, you both said how amazing of a person Brendan Fraser is, and I am here to tell you that in my opinion, after my encounter with him, it may not be true. About a decade ago, I was with my daughter, then age 10, and my niece, then age 12, at the Detroit airport. We were in a tunnel between terminals on the People Mover when I noticed that Brendan Fraser and a female companion were on it right in front of us, not walking, so we were stopped behind them. I pointed him out quietly to the girls, and they were like, "George of the Jungle, gasp!" We did not speak to him, ask for a picture, or an autograph, but the girls were starstruck for sure and talking about him to each other and about the movie. As the People Mover ended, we all advanced to an escalator up to the terminal. Standing behind them with the respectful amount of space, his female companion said loudly to him, "Do you want me to tell them to leave you alone?" To which he replied, "No, they're just stupid 10-year-olds. This enraged my fiery little niece, and she yelled out, "I am not 10, I just turned 12. Like being called stupid wasn't the insult. They started walking up the escalator at this point and went on with their travels. I was honestly livid. These girls loved that movie and thought that he was a movie star. Well, that changed for us all that day. He had 3 minutes to be kind to two young fans. Instead, he was rude. Not that stupid is the worst word he could have used, but to say it about, and basically write to, two young, now former, fans was mean and short-sighted. So, yeah, he may not be the greatest. Maybe he was having a bad day or rough travels or just received sad news, but it's my opinion, it's always easier to be kind than to be mean. I am the same listener that sent in the Miranda Lambert story. Maybe my run-ins with famous people being rude is my problem? Nah, I don't think so. I hope it was only just these two stories because my experience with Clint Eastwood was lovely. I hope I didn't burst your bubble about Mr. Fraser. Keep it creepy, Ashley.
Well, Ashley, you kind of did. But, you know, I'm gonna chalk it up to he was having a bad day. I get it. If anyone also called my kids stupid or anything like that, I would also immediately be like, well, I'm gonna burn all your DVDs I have and I'm unfollowing you on everything.
It's like, what do you mean you pushed Brendan Fraser down an escalator? He called my niece stupid. I had to push him down an escalator. He'll be fine. No, that does suck though, because even if it's like the worst day, it's like you could either just be quiet or just be like, oh, sorry, kids, not today, but thanks. Like, it's like a small thing. You know what I mean? Not that we ever get like celebrity recognized, but whenever my sister's birthday, what's up, listener, if you're listening, also named Sydney, was like, "Hey, real quick, are you from Sinister?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, what's up? It's so nice to meet you." Not, "I'm having dinner. It's just some stupid person talking to me." It's like, you should always be excited that somebody likes your art enough to recognize you out in public, especially if they're being respectful, like these kids. It's not like they were like, "Sir, can we have your..."
That's what's weird, is the woman made it a big deal.
Yeah.
And if they weren't bothering him, I don't even understand the interaction. Maybe they thought the kids were bothering him. Either way,
it's
certainly not the right thing to say.
Yeah, I'm not calling a kid stupid.
Maybe they were running lines, okay? Maybe it was a scene.
Coincidence.
Maybe they were filming. Maybe they were filming and nobody knew, and it just happened to match the age of your kids too.
Who knows? How did it happen? We don't know. It just did. Well, thank you, Ashley. Glad to hear that Dirty Harry wasn't so dirty with you, but it sounds like everybody else sucks. Well, we appreciate you. And if anybody has any good Brendan Fraser stories,
send those in, please.
Also, I'm like, he's Canadian. Not that all Canadians are always nice, but like reputationally,
yeah,
they're better than us.
Statistically, I feel like they are. Come on.
Well, thank you, Ashley. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Aaron, and the subject line is, "The time I shat myself as a baby grad student while giving a family their Christmas presents. It is time. I feel ready for the world to hear the most embarrassing story I have. This is the story of how I shat myself as a baby grad student while I was giving a mother all of her and her family's Christmas presents. I was 25, in my last year of grad school for social work, so full of hope about how I was going to change the world, so naive I was. It was the last day before the schools went on winter break, and I was a synergetic play therapist intern at a small Title I elementary school. The organization I was an intern for was so wonderful, and every year they purchased Christmas presents for all the children and families they served. Not just a present per person, but this organization every year fulfilled the families' full lists. Most families were able to schedule a pickup after school before winter break commenced. However, one family was unable to, It was the Friday before break started, and I was determined to get this family their gifts. All year, I'd been having a hard time getting a hold of this mom for basic things like paperwork, updates about her kids, treatment, etc. Already, we had set up two different pickup times, and she didn't make it to either. I'd been texting with this mom all day, trying to figure out how to get everything to her. She let me know her car was currently in the shop, and she wouldn't be able to come by after school. That's fine. I offered to meet her outside her house to drop them off. She told me she was at the mechanics. Okay, what's the address? I'll meet you there. Radio silence for a couple of hours. It was 3 p.m., school released, and still no response. I was packing up my things to head home for 2 weeks and taking some stuff from my office I wasn't using, specifically a small area rug. This is a very important, some would say, car-saving item for later. 3:15, and I was walking to my car, and suddenly I get a call from the mom. She apologized profusely and sent me the address to the car shop, 10 minutes away. Okay, I thought, not bad, I can do that. Drive to the shop and do a few circles around the block and see the mom flagging me down. I park. She again apologizes and states her car just finished up and she would pull it up so we can transfer the presents. Great. As she's walking away to get her car, I begin to feel a bit lightheaded, and I chalk it up to not eating lunch that day. No big deal. We started transferring the presents and chatting while we worked. A truly fun conversation and experience, and I was so happy that we were able to make this happen, as her kids are just the sweetest things. I begin to feel more lightheaded. My stomach begins to rumble. Okay, def don't feel good, but we're finishing up and I'll get going home. The mom wants to chat a bit more. Oh God, I need to leave. My stomach is killing me. I try to extract myself from the conversation and eventually am successful. I'm quickly walking to my car and tossing a happy holidays over my shoulder while trying to keep from sprinting. I'm okay. I'll be okay. Oh, I was far from okay. I get to my car when suddenly a huge wave of lightheadedness hits me. I stumble. I stumble into the side of my car. My knees buckle. My hearing goes out. My vision starts to tunnel. I'm going down. My ankle gives out. I fall. As soon as I hit the ground, my butt cheeks unclench, and I absolutely and devastatingly shat myself. I was wearing my favorite jeans and knee-high boots that all luckily kept the shit contained. There was so much of it. I'm on the ground, lightheadedness gone. Stomach feels great. When suddenly I hear
a... Pull me dead. Oh. I can't imagine.
When suddenly I hear a, oh my God, are you okay? The mom is still there by her car. She suddenly starts rushing over to me saying, let me help you up. I shout, do not come over. No. Then try to play it cool. I'm totally fine. I just tripped. I'm super clumsy. Seriously, I'm fine. Just stay where you are. I don't want to be a bother. The smell. Oh my God. The smell. It starts wafting up to my nose, and I pray to all the gods in existence that this mom isn't close enough to smell it and I can keep her from figuring out what happened, trying to keep what little dignity I have left. It works. She states, oh, okay, well, thank you so much for everything. We'll see you in 2 weeks. She gets in her car while I'm pulling myself up. She drives off. I'm safe. Thank God. I open my door and look at my fabric seats. I can't sit. I'll absolutely destroy my car seat. I need to get home, but I'm panicking. And then suddenly, I see it. The area rug I was bringing home. It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Take that bad boy, wrap it around my shit-covered waist and legs. Good enough. I get in my car, begin the 45-minute drive home through Denver and to the suburbs where I live. The worst of it is over. Or is it? There's a crash on I-25, and the 45-minute drive turns into an hour and a half of me just literally sitting in my own shit and dying from the smell, despite the windows being rolled all the way down. I'm just imagining what would happen if I get pulled over for some reason. But I don't. The gods have granted me this blessing at least. I make it home, throw the rug in the trash bin, and run upstairs to peel my clothes off of me and empty out my boots and take the longest shower in existence. The end.
first one we've ever seen where the end was written.
not only that, the end period. Yeah, that's good. That was great punctuation.
That was the end of all of it. Oh, man.
The boots tucked into the jeans, girl.
Dude.
Oh, no.
But they're your favorite. You got to figure out a way to salvage them.
You got Aaron, to.
Damn. First of all, I don't think I've ever been overcome with such lightheadedness from needing to shit that I passed out. That is something you might want to get checked out. I don't know about all that.
That's IBS. It's like intense IBS where it's like so bad you pass out. For real. I mean, maybe lightheadedness from not eating or whatever, your blood sugar is crashing. But then to simultaneous therewith, that is a cruel, cruel twist of fate.
Man. Oh, man. You really lucked out, though, that you were able to keep her at bay because.
So close.
Yeah. It's what it's a difficult thing. What do you do? You can't say, I just shit myself. Please don't come over here. Merry Christmas.
No. All you can do is that sound of voice of like, no, you're good. Please.
No. Please.
That she has the self-awareness and like the social, the emotional intelligence to be like, okay, you mean that. You mean, please don't come
over
here.
Something is, she wants to be by herself right now.
Jeez, Louise. Well, thank God you didn't lose consciousness totally to where she comes and just finds you passed out, bowels evacuated.
Dude.
Just dent in your car, knee bruised. This is horrible. What a situation. No good deed goes unpunished, truly. That you're literally Santa Clausing.
You were out of your way to get these to her and you were punished like this. Or, you know, maybe... I always like to think, well, I was late for some reason. Maybe that 5 minutes was between me and death. Maybe you shitting yourself and passing out prevented you from being in that accident that you had to then sit through in your own feces, which sucks. And let me tell you, when I had my experience, that is what I call it, the experience.
My experience.
I also had to drive home. And also was like, if I get pulled over by a cop, what am I going to do? I did pull up next to a school bus, and those are way higher than a regular car. The kids are just like,
what's going on down there? And you're like, look away, children.
Oh, my God.
Look away. Yeah, oh. I like the idea that instead of the burnt toast theory, it's the shat pants theory. That's like, you shat your pants to keep you from being in a worse incident later. Like, oh, I burned my toast getting to work. I'm so sad. It's like, it might have saved you from an accident. Like, I shit my pants dropping off Christmas presents. Maybe it saved you from something else.
Maybe it saved you. You know what? Oh, I wonder. Frankie,
what a day.
And I don't want you, Aaron, to get in your head about this.
Don't.
But maybe as the woman was beginning to come over, downwind
it came
upon her. And she thought, you know what? Not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm going to let this one go and peace be with you.
It's like whatever's going on over there, I don't need to be a part of it. So I can't prove that you shat yourself, but something smells like you did. So I'm going to go.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And especially you just fell down real hard.
There was so much of it. Oh, girl, oh, I'm man. So sorry. Oh, hard relate. I'm so sorry this happened.
I am so sorry too, but I appreciate you sharing it with us because every time one of you sends in a story like this, I feel a little less alone.
See,
so
there you
thank
go.
Thank you so much.
It's a support group for sure.
Power storytelling indeed. Oh man. I'm also going to start ending stuff like this with just the end. Period.
Finn. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And thank you to everyone else that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, they don't all have to be that you shit your pants, but they can be if you want.
Or maybe just make it as good as that one.
What'd you say?
I said just make it as good as that one. That was a good
story. Yeah. Well, we have a what the fuck is wrong with men segment, so we can do a I shit my pants
Oops,
segment.
I crap my pants. Yeah.
Or maybe you've encountered Bigfoot. You've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being. Send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. Just by joining for free, you get an archived bonus content sent to you once a month. And there's a nice catalog of free things on there that you can explore as well. You can also join Patreon and get over 1,000 hours of various content.
Oh, we just recorded a new Judge Christie. We've got a Heather Saves in the can ready for you guys to hear. We also have all of our backlog of mini-sodes as well as some upcoming ones, the backlog of all of our live stream Q&As, and there's one coming up in February, a new month. That means there's a live stream coming.
Yeah, and yeah. We're going to start doing live streams, the Q&As, the third Thursday of every month to make it easy so we don't have to keep scheduling it and have people wait to the last minute. Third Thursday seemed easy enough to remember.
So. Like it's like your HOA meeting. Yeah. Like just or like a PTA meeting. Yeah. We'll just have
third Thursday of the month.
Regular meeting so that we can all prioritize it, schedule it, and be there. So we'll see y'all on the third Thursday. And don't forget to head over to sinisterhead.com, click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Now through the end of February, we're donating 100% of merch proceeds and matching it 100% to various California wildlife relief charities. So grab your stuff and help us support stuff.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and plus information on Crimeway at Sea 2025. Remember, tickets are now on sale when you're this. So get your fan code, then get your tickets. Also, while you're there, you can submit something for Scary Sundays.
Yes, go to sinisterhood.com, click that banner up at the top. And you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch Sunday Scaries Sundays at 8:30 Central on our YouTube channel. It's totally free, open to everybody. Share it with your friends. Make sure you're subscribed. And you can watch clips of the show on TikTok. You can order a custom video shout out for yourself or the Sinisterhood fan in your life from Cameo. Happy birthday, happy anniversary, congratulations, surprise, we're going on Crime Wave with Christy and Heather.
Nice.
Whatever you want
we'll
to tell.
Dress up in our Admiral hats if that's an announcement you'd like us to make.
Yeah, if you're doing a we're going to Crime Wave announcement, absolutely, we will wear the Admiral hats over at cameo.com/sinisterhood. And Christy, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I'm going to be gearing up for the high seas. Christy and Wallace over on Instagram and Threads and Blue Sky, and I'm on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
You can find me everywhere trying to fight the whole world at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
See?